A review, a final look back over our OT walk as we look at the Old Testament walkthrough that we've done the last 6 weeks. We've had a memory verse. We're going to look at that real quick, and then we're going to look at the video for the motions we've done. The memory verse is Luke 24:27. Let's read that together. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Let's read it again. Luke 24:27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. This is Jesus on the road to Emmaus explaining to the disciples that were slow of heart to understand. They didn't recognize him, explaining his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection from the scriptures. What scriptures were written at that point? The Old Testament. So he was looking at the Old Testament and sharing the gospel with them, helping them to understand. Stephen went back through in Acts chapter 6 and 7 and explained the gospel to the Sanhedrin because of the old scriptures, due to the scriptures, the Old Testament. We saw Philip in Acts chapter 8 looking back again and using the scriptures of the Old Testament to describe and help people understand what was said when he was talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. He started with the prophet Isaiah and went back and talked through all history. So as we look at that, we realize the Old Testament preaches the gospel and helps us to understand. And so Jesus also was doing that with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, as we've gone through each day these last 40 days, we had motions that we went with each day. Some of you have been able to follow along. Some of you may not have been able to. If you want to go back and get the 2.5 minute or less devotional on each of these points, it's on our website. You may have trouble going back through our Facebook page and back that far for 40 days. But you can go on our website, and it says on the main title bar, OT Walk 1, OT Walk 2. OT Walk 1 is the first 20 days. OT Walk 2 is the second 20 days. So you can look at that and find the right video and go from there. I did make a video for today with all emotions. And the reason I made the video with all emotions today is because I'm probably going to mess up. So we're going to look at that. We'll all do along. If you would like to do the motions, you can certainly feel free to do that. I would encourage you when you do the wider motions not to hit your neighbor in the face. If you hit him in the arm, just do it gently. But if you want to do that, so let's play that video and we'll move on with our review.
All right. We're going to go through all 40 days of OT Walk. That's the 40 major things as we go through the Old Testament. Let's do the motions together. You ready? Creation. Fall. Flood, nations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Passover, law, tabernacle, offerings and feasts, spying, wandering and dying, second law, conquering, judges, Samuel listening to God, and then we move into the kings. Saul with no heart, David with a whole heart, Solomon with a half heart. Division is God's broken heart. Jeroboam is a hard heart. Asa is an open heart. Ahab was all about me. Elijah was the voice of truth. Jehoshaphat was hanging on to God and to the world. Jehu was a strong start, poor finish. Uzziah waved with pride. Then the north was scattered. Hezekiah honored God. Manasseh talked to the hand with God. And then Josiah worshipped God. Destruction, southern exile, the faithful, rebuilding, Esther, and God's promise.
All right. So as we look at that, those are the videos, those are the motions for a look at the whole Old Testament as we put it together. God created humankind, creation. Man fell from that by sinning, by rebelling against God, and because of that, we've had trouble in our lives ever since. At that point, God prophesied to the future, there will be one who will come that will bruise the serpent's head. He will crush the head, and he will bruise the heel of the Messiah, which was Jesus Christ, who came later to set us free from the penalty of sin. To be able to set us free and be able to live. The world got further and further and further from God as it progressed, to the point that God said he was sorry that he made man, the only inclination of the heart at all times was evil. And so God said, I'm going to start over again. And he flooded the whole earth and destroyed everything minus eight people who were on the ark, Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, and two of every kind of animal and seven of every kind of clean animal. They were all in this huge boat that God preserved. The whole world was covered. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. It was about a year. I think it was a year and 10 days when they finally got to leave the ark again. Okay, so long time in there, food for all the animals, that kind of stuff. And God said, we're going to start fresh again. And he made a covenant with Noah. I'm never going to destroy the earth with the flood ever again. I make that promise to you. And he put the rainbow in the sky. It was our sign first. It was God's promise. And so we look at that and say, this is what God promised to do. The people of the earth began to try to be arrogant again and move forward. So he scattered them. Abraham came on. And as Abraham was a man of faith and began to follow God, began to say, God, I want you. And God said, okay, I want you to follow me and go to a place you've never seen before. And we see that Abraham left everything, his father's household. He took his stuff and he left. And he was a father of faith, and he surrendered everything that God gave to him along the way, even his son Isaac, and was ready to take his life when God stopped him. So we see then the nation that came from that was Isaac, who had Jacob and Esau, and we had the nation of Edom, and we have the nation of Israel, because Jacob wrestled with God and overcame. Then we follow the line of Israel through time and see a lot of the things, the patterns that took place. Whenever there was a good leader in place, whether that was a judge or a king, the people would follow God and be fervent. When you see a bad king or a bad judge, we see that the people strayed and turned away from God. And so there was a greater need for a leader that would be righteous and holy. As the king took place, David, who was wholehearted, God told David, there will be one that will come after you that will be like you and loving me, but he will be a man of peace, and he will build a kingdom that will endure forever. And we talked about Solomon, that Solomon didn't fit that bill because his kingdom didn't reign forever. God was talking about someone else, who was Jesus, who was from the line of David. So we go through that, and God's people got worse and worse. The kingdom divided, and the northern kingdom didn't have any good kings. The southern kingdom had a few good kings, eight, but most of them, most of the kings there, they were turned away from God. The people got worse and worse till God said, finally, enough is enough. We're going to send them off into exile. And while they were in exile, they were being reformed and being rejuvenated so that they would know what God had called them to and knew the relationship. So when God brought them back after 70 years, they are restored. So that happened. And then after the restoration, after the rebuilding, Esther was made queen. The ring of power went on. And then all that time, God was giving prophecies, the promises that were coming over and over again. Yes, I did say the ring of power. Those of you who are interested in Lord of the Rings. No, we're not going to go there. So if you're interested in that, I did make that allusion on day 39, which we talked about Esther. So you can go back and look at that as well. Now, I need two volunteers. Now, it's interesting. When in first service, when I said I need two volunteers, you know who the first... Come on up, Nikki. That's fine. The first person that jumped up and raised their hand was my trusting 9-year-old daughter. Amazing. Nikki, come right over here and grab that rope. I need somebody else to grab the other side over here. Thank you, John. Hold it right there on the edge of where the black line is. You see where the black line is there? Okay. And take a step forward this way. Make it taut so everybody can see where the rope is. Step forward this way, and then you have to pull it back a little bit so everybody can see. There we go. There we go. So what we have here is a rope. Oh, that was supposed to be funny. Yeah. Okay, so this is a rope that represents the timeline of history. According to Bible chronology, it was about 6,000 years. So right here on the edge where Nikki's holding is where creation takes place, 6 days, okay? Now, this history, my Vanna White, awesome. This history, every 8 inches on this timeline, every 8 inches, is 100 years. Okay? So we have the timeline of creation. Then we have this blue. Anyone want to guess what that is? The flood, where water covered everything. Yellow is our patriarch, Abraham. Where this is the point where Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. Not at his birth, but where he left Ur of the Chaldees. Keep on coming on here. And we have right here is where the kings began with King Saul. The purple here is the reign of King David, 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. We have on to the kingdom here. And then right here is where the kingdom first went into exile when 605 BC, when Daniel and his friends were taken. It went on down, and then 70 years later, they were returned. Okay. Down here, we had some silent years where there were not any prophets speaking. 300 to 400 years of silent years. At this point, at 4 BC, Jesus Christ was born. And the red and the white, red because of his blood that was shed for us, white because we are made pure. Nice little color alliteration. You should color coordination. You should appreciate that. After that, all these green marks are every century since Jesus. Okay, so year 100, year 200, 300, all the way up here. Now, if you'll notice, there is a little red, white, and blue that starts right here. Anyone want to guess what that is? 1776. Very good. So that's where our nation began, and this is where we are at present. That's our nation in the time of history. Now, as we look at that, we say, well, I spent 2 stinking years studying American history. What about the rest of the history, right? There's a lot of time that goes on. I want to kind of look at some things as we go along. We have Alexander the Great, who lived from 356 BC to 323 BC, which is about right, 2 feet was 300 years, so about right here, okay? Slide over just a little bit. All right. Alexander the Great lived for 33 years. And yes, these pictures, these graphs are proportional with the rest of our things. So his life was that much in this time span. Then we had somebody that y'all may know a little bit more about. We have a guy by the name of Christopher Columbus. Anybody heard of him? All right. So he lived for 56 years, born in 1450. Or 1451, depending on your source. We have 1700, 16, 15, 14. So he's right along in here. If I can get it to stay on. All right. So that's Christopher Columbus. We have people like Abraham Lincoln. Okay. Abraham Lincoln was born in 1809, shortly after we became a nation, within a few years of that. Okay, he lived for also 56 years because God is good and he made me do less math. Adolf Hitler was also lived how many years? 56. Hey, all right. So, and no, we are not equating Adolf Hitler with Abraham Lincoln. Just being clear. So he was born in 1889, which was a few years after Lincoln was killed in 65. Okay. There we go. We have people that lived a little bit longer. Because these guys, I didn't search to say, Siri, who is 56 years old? We have people like Winston Churchill, who lived 90 years. So the length of his life is 7 1/4 inches on our scale, okay? And he lived at the same time as Adolf Hitler. Now, we're going to put him behind so he's not covering up Adolf Hitler completely. He was born a little bit before Hitler and lived longer, thankfully. But you look at this and you say, okay, so most of what we learn about in history, get Alexander the Great around here, most of what we've learned about in history is all centered here, right? Now, if you've been thinking through this, you're thinking, all right, if that's American history, then where is my life, right? How big is my life? Psalm 90, verse 10 says this. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass away, and we fly away. Now, there are people that are here at our church that are older than 80 years. God is not putting a cap on life at 80 years, but he's saying, if you get at 80 years, you've lived a healthy life. Anybody know what our life expectancy is as of 2018? 78.84 years. Okay? 78.84 years. Almost 80 is our life expectancy. There are several nations in the world that are actually a little bit above 80, but that's the average. And as I learned in Sunday school today, cue advertisement, that the life expectancy is actually going down because of the rates of suicide. Interesting note in our nation. But your life, I'm not going to put this on here. All of us that are here have lived to this point. Some of you started sooner. Some of you started later. Some of you were alive when Winston Churchill and Adolf Hitler were on. Some of you will be living further and longer than me. Some of you will die tomorrow. No, that's not a prophecy. I'm just kidding. But we do have to be aware that we don't know when our life is going to end. And if our life is here on the scope of time, what are we going to do with that life? Now, we did the Old Testament history, the walk through the Old Testament, which is, this is where Jesus was born. So from here all the way over there, that's the history of time that we covered. Okay? Lots of time that we covered. That's New Testament and since in history. You see American history, you see your life. See, in our lives, we are taught and coached, and advertisements convey to us that our life is about us. Y'all can put that down. Y'all give them a round of applause for their help. Thank you. Thank you, Vanna White. Our lives, we are told, are about us. And I'm going to build a bigger house, or I'm going to get a better job, or I'm going to have a nicer car. I'm going to do all these different things. And when we focus on us, we realize our story in the history of time, if we live 80 years, is only this in everything. Do you realize how little we are? And yet, you are the apple of God's eye. That's the reason Jesus came, was because you are precious. The question is, what will we do with our lives? We looked through a lot of different lives in the Old Testament and what they did and how God worked through them. But what are we going to do with our lives at this point? Because our life is not about us. And we are tempted to think that everything I do in my life is about me. But when we do that, we fail ourselves. We forget the big picture, the big story, His story, His story. Because God came in history and said, I will become human. And there was a man, Paul Harvey tells a story, there was a man that his family was Christian. He went to church, but he really, when it came to the incarnation, God becoming man, he said, it doesn't make sense. Why would God that created the entire universe come? That's just like the gods and goddesses sort of Greek history, of Greek mythology. I don't get that. I don't believe it. So when his family was going to a Christmas service to bring in Christmas at midnight, he said, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I mean, I like to go. I like to be there with the people, but I'm not going to go for that. I don't want to be a hypocrite. So he stayed behind. His family left. And as soon as his family left, snow started falling. And as snow started falling, after a little while, he was sitting by the fire in the hearth, and he was reading a magazine, and he heard a thump. Thump. And he first thought that there were some people throwing snowballs at his window. And he went and looked, and he realized they were birds that were coming in, that were trying to get warm, because it had turned cold very suddenly. And the man said, well, these poor birds, they weren't prepared. They're going to die out there in the cold because it's frigid, and I need to do something about that. So he thought, you know what, my kids have a pony, a barn that has a pony. And so I can open up that barn and they can go in there. They'll be sheltered from the snow. They'll be a little bit warmer and it'll be safe. And so he went and opened up the barn, but the birds stayed where they were. So he turned on the light so they could see that this was the barn was open, available. But they didn't go into the barn. They stayed out there fluttering in the cold where they were going to die. He got a bright idea. I could do something about this. And so he got some bread from inside the house and made some bread trails so they would come and get the bread and they would follow along into the barn and they would find that this was a safe place they could be. They would find it warm. They wouldn't leave again. Problem was, they didn't come to the bread trail. They just left it there, and pretty soon the snow covered it up and it was gone. He said, well, I've got to do something because these birds are going to die. So he went and he started flapping his hands and trying to scare them. But they just fluttered around and came back and landed. He could never catch them. And he thought, what can I do? If only I could speak to them in a language they understood. If only, because they're scared of me. If only I could speak in a language they could understand. If only I could become a bird to communicate with them. And right at that point, the Christmas bells started pealing at the church. And he heard it. Why would God become a human? So that we could know the way. So we could hear his heart. And Jesus, who everything in the world that was created through him. Jesus became human for us. Now, so if you're thinking, I'm pretty small in this whole scope of time, it's true. But you're also very precious. And the question that we have is, what are we going to do with the time we have? The people's lives that overlap with us. Are we going to encourage them in the way? Are we going to live for self? Or are we going to live for God? That's pretty significant. The Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. There was a better covenant. I'm going to run through real quick through this outline. I got ahead of myself, but there was a better covenant. Jesus talked about the covenant in his blood, which was better than the Noah covenant. He's not going to flood the earth again. It was better than the Abrahamic covenant that he was going to make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. It was better than the covenant with David that he would always have someone to reign. It was a covenant that would enable us to have freedom, a covenant for us to be able to be set free and have eternal life. There was a clear message. The messengers that were sent that were tainted. You look at the judges that God sent, and many of those judges failed. And as judges went on, they were more and more and more like the world, to where there really wasn't much difference. The message was not clear. So God sent Jesus to be a better message and a messenger that we might know the way. Jesus was a better judge. He was pure of heart, always victorious. With judges, there was that cycle of obedience and then disobedience and falling away and living in the blessing, living without the blessing, and God sending punishment to help draw the people back and them crying out to God and being fervent again. And that cycle goes around several times in the book of Judges. And they needed someone not only to lead them, but also to lead them rightly. The kings. He needed a king that would help us. A more complete salvation from sin, from death, forever. Not a sacrifice once that would cover my sins for today, and then when I sin tomorrow and covet in my heart, I've sinned again, and I need to go back tomorrow and have a whole other sin offering. Jesus Christ was the taking our penalty once for all, for everyone. You say, well, how can one person's blood cover that for everybody else? Well, one thing is, he was God. And he was pure. He never sinned once, so he didn't have to pay for his own sin. But because he's God, the God of the universe that created all of this, said, how precious is my blood? I will give it all for all of humanity. And by his sacrifice, he made us whole. He was a better king. He was not sinful, not half-hearted, not starting well and ending poorly, not being rebellious to God. He was wholehearted, open-hearted, and pure. Lead people right. He was a better priest who was not sinful himself and had to make a sacrifice first for himself. And Hebrews 4, 14 and 15 is one of my favorite passages, although there are lots of passages that are awesome. But this is it. He understands us because he was tempted in every way that we are, yet was without sin. We have a priest, a high priest, Jesus, who can identify with us. And so you say, well, he never was tempted with heroin. He was tempted with addiction. That 40-day period where he was tempted by the enemy, time after time, there were many temptations that the enemy brought to him to cause him to stumble. And we're told here in Hebrews 4 that every way that we are tempted, he was tempted. But he didn't sin. That means he can identify with us. He understands what it's like. And when he died on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was a better sacrifice once for all. Not just one lamb, but for all time. He provides us a better rest. When God created on 6 days, on the seventh day rested, was God tired on that seventh day? No. He rested for our benefit. And so there was the every day, so the Sabbath day, they were supposed to be resting along the way. And every 7 years, they were supposed to be resting, letting the land rest from its labors, so it would rejuvenate the land. And when they didn't do that, they didn't give the Sabbath rest in the land. That's the reason God said, you're going to be in exile for 70 years, because it's 490 years you didn't give rest to the land. Jesus gives us a rest not just for the land, not just for the Sabbath day, but a rest that will go for eternity. That will be good and with God. He gives us a better hope. Instead of being just forgiven for our present sin, he gives us the hope of resurrection. Of what was broken is being restored. And as it's being restored, when we have life with him, we will have it forever. Because once we die and are raised, we will not die again. Displayed the hope of resurrection as the first fruits among the dead. He came first. So that we would see there is always hope, also hope that we can rise as well. And he is a fulfilled promise from the faithful God. All the prophecies through Scripture, all the promises that God gave, they were fulfilled in Jesus. The bruising, crushing of the serpent's head way back in the beginning, and every prophecy that happened since was fulfilled in Jesus. And so what we see is all of Old Testament that we've looked at points to Jesus. And really, all life since that point also looks back to Jesus, because that's where life happened. That's what makes life real. That's what makes life abundant and full, is we have our life with Jesus. But our temptation is, my life is about me. And I'm worried and upset about so many different things that are going on in my life. And I forget that history has a God that's been handling it long before I came along. Folks, I needed to be reminded of that. I'm guessing somebody else does too. If we listen to the advertisements that this razor is going to make your life better, and if only you eat the food from this restaurant, you will feel fulfilled because that juicy hamburger. That's not fair. It's almost lunchtime. It's when our life intersects and merges with God's plan and history that makes our lives meaningful. I was the end of the great, living 33 years, 56 years for Christopher Columbus, Adolf Hitler, Abraham Lincoln, 90 years for Winston Churchill. Their lives intersected with different people. They were major people in history. You and I may not ever become president. Doubtful, right?
Maybe.
And yet, there are people that God has put in your life and my life. In 100 years after us, people aren't going to know who we are. Our children, our grandchildren might hear a story or two that's been preserved. If you write your memoirs, somebody might open it up at that point, but probably not. But what you do in this span of your life matters for eternity. The question is, will you allow your life to merge onto the highway of God and say, God, I will choose your plan. I will live your way. And I'm not just talking about salvation. And salvation is the first step of that. But living my life as a pattern, saying, God, I want to live for you and live with you here and now, so that as I impact people in their lives, they know you, because you're far more important than me. My life is not about my story. My life is about His story. And your life, if it's meaningful, will also be about His story. Well, so what does that mean? Does that mean we don't need to go to the grocery store? Because, I mean, hey, how meaningful is that, right? There are things we've got to do. But when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the work, when you start interacting with kids in the neighborhood or neighbors, you keep His glasses on, His perspective that these people are also the apple of His eye. And when my life is on mission, that's what makes my life matter. When Jesus came to help us little birds know the right way, it's not about us. Jesus fulfills it all. He is the high point in the promise. The Old Testament points to Jesus. The New Testament points to Jesus. Time points to Jesus. Prophecies point to Jesus. Our lives point to Jesus. The Bible, history, all life point to Jesus. He's the center. Split time. B.C. and A.D. He's the center. He's the center of life. Is He the center of your life? Folks, all of us, probably all of us, when we looked down here and saw the beginning of the United States to present, that was a perspective issue. Am I right? Because we spend time focusing on all this. Think about who we are, the great nation we are, and it's not about us as a nation any more than it's about us as a person. Do we have influence? Can we do things? Yes, absolutely. And we, too much is given, much is required. We need to be voices of truth. We need to be impacting, but it's not about us. What are you going to do with your life? As I was writing this sermon, as I was thinking about this, I said, you know, Alexander the Great only lived 33 years. Some people, tragedies happen, and they live 9. Some people live longer than 80 years. But what do you do with the life that you have? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're here now. And Lord, as we get a reality check and think about the worries and the things that we're upset about and the things that feel overwhelming to us, it's a drop in the bucket. That probably a lot of these things next year, the year after, we're not even worried about, but we're all worried about it now. And when you look at the scope of time, and the billions of people that came before us. It's amazing how much you love us. And so, Lord, I want to speak a prayer on behalf of the church here, that you will help us to refocus our attention on the reality of time. Old Testament history that we've been working with for the last 40 days, but also our own history. That you would sanctify it, that you would consecrate us, that you would help us to be fully surrendered to you. And all the things that cause us to be worried and upset, that we'll surrender those things to you. That we will take you first and foremost, and our lives will be yours.